LNB's audio diary for the 21st of August, 2023. It is a Monday, and it's just about quarter to 10 in the morning. And I have just dropped off a box at, there's a UPS store here. And this is a return that we were sending back to Amazon, Mrs. Bronx. She gets shoes through them. I would never do that. You gotta try them on, but I have bad feet, so I always gotta try them on first. And I know they have those, like, we'll send you half a dozen of them and you try them and send the rest back sorts of things. And no, thanks. I just want the thing, I want to get my feet in them, I want a pair that doesn't hurt, and then I want to leave and not think about it again. I'm not a shopper. I don't like shopping. So, anyway, these didn't fit, or they didn't work for her. They were hurting. So, she sent them back, and I was dropping them off. I volunteered at the shelter today, took care of the bunny. He's all set. And I do Saturday, Sunday, Monday now, instead of every day. And just the bunny, as you know, I've talked about it before. But he's all set now, so I won't be back there till next Saturday, this coming Saturday. Oi, so let's see. I said it was 9:45. It's actually 9:15. Early. So let's see. I'm gonna head home. I'm not going anywhere else. It's a tight week this week, so I did some shopping on, I think it was Friday or Saturday. And, boy, I spent a lot, but we were low. You know, there was a lot we needed. And just had to do it. So that kind of put us in a hole. But that's okay. Gotta do what you gotta do. Gotta do what you gotta do. So let's see. Last night, I was up late, and I finally finished off chapter 19, the of All He Surveys, Volume 1, the audiobook version. So that went to Patreon, and chapter 18 hit the feed today. So got all that, or not today, last night. I did it all last night. And it was kind of a hassle getting at 19 done. I tried to be clever, right? I should not try to be clever because I'm not clever, right? It was always a disaster when I do that. So I tried to put a voice effect, like, not to give anything away, not that this is any great thing, but there's a sequence where somebody's talking over like a ship-wide PA system. And I wanted to put a little, you know, voice effect in there to make it an echo and everything else. And I screwed up the entire voice channel for that, and it was all messed up. Didn't get it right. I've done it in the past, so I thought it was fine. But the night before, I stayed up late and I tried to get everything done, and I was way too exhausted. I was so exhausted. I've been stupid all day, you know, hadn't been sleeping well for a week or more, and I was so tired. I was making very dumb mistakes. Now, you've heard me say this before. You've heard me say this, dear listener, where I'm going to, like, no, I've got to get my sleep. Otherwise, I make stupid mistakes, and then I go ahead and do it anyway. That's the kind of guy you're dealing with here. So that was not cool. And I pay for it, right? I pay for it. I think I'm going to do something clever, and maybe I could have pulled it off if I wasn't making dumb mistakes. But I messed it up, and I had to fix it all the next day. And the next day, I was like, I don't want to be clever. I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. So it just went out straight. And I think it's fine, but it could have been more. But anyway, it took me an extra day to fix that and get it uploaded. So that's all set. And that's been put out. If anyone's listening to it and you hear any problems, let me know. Otherwise, it'll have to do. And, you know, I got to say, it's not up to my former audio standards, maybe, you know, the whole thing might not be, but, you know, I'm doing the best I can. That much I can say. And I guess, you know, that's as good as can be. I can't do more than that, right? So, there you go. Especially when I'm making stupid mistakes. And the biggest fundamental mistake was not sleeping or not forcing myself to try to sleep, which is the real issue. But sometimes that just leaves me very frustrated because I can't sleep. In fact, that day, I tried to sleep and I couldn't. I tried to go down for a nap and I couldn't. And, just terrible, terrible. I was good for a while there. Longtime listeners will know that I'm an insomniac. And, you know, I had a pretty good run for a while there, but I'm having issues again. Comes and goes. Doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to it. It's not like I have extra stress in my life or anything right now. I don't know. My weight is stalled out. I'm sticking at 190, so I'm going to have to change something up. My diet is still more or less in place. I am eating a little bit more than I was before. Obviously, that's an issue. So I'm either going to need to be more restrictive and you know, really... Now, I'm not even eating as much as my recommended daily caloric intake should be. But I'm not dropping. So clearly, my caloric intake should be much lower. And I either have to do that or I have to start exercising. And I'm allergic to exercise, so... Anyway, I'm not gaining. And that's a good thing. But I do need to do something about that. So, let's see, what else? I am working on Volume 2, the writing part of Volume 2. I'm up to, I think, Chapter 13 now of Draft 3. And from this point forward, I need to do a lot more rewriting, heavy rewriting. I've been rewriting the whole thing up till now, but now I haven't been touching the plot part of it or the structure of the chapters, but from this point forward, I'm going to have to. And that is going to slow my progress down, but I'm only doing it, you know, haphazardly anyway, so right now it's not that big a deal. If I can get some of the structure in and make it work, make it stick, then I'll be all right and I can move forward with it. The ending needs a complete rewrite. Needs to be completely redone. And that's going to take time, but whatever. Whatever. So, let's see, what else? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Have I been watching anything? Not really. I watched a couple of movies that were okay. Nothing's leaping. Nothing's leaping to mind. Should, but it's not. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think... I thought I had all this stuff to talk about, but I really don't. One thing I should probably talk about a bit is the role-playing game. I have been working on that fairly extensively. I've moved up to another point release, so it's 0.05.3 now. And I have started to include the setting material into the game. The way I have it in mind, there will be... three sections to the rulebook. I've waffled back and forth about whether or not I should have the setting stuff mixed into the rulebook. And I see it as two approaches, two general philosophies of how to lay out a rulebook here. The first one is to make it readable. Make it an enjoyable thing to sit down and just read, right? And that would include, mixing your material up in a way that makes it interesting to read. You know, having a, like in a chapter on combat, right? Then next to that, in a text block or something like that, have talk about the history of the wars and stuff in Star Drifter, so that you have combat and something talking about the wars, and you might make some reference to the rules or how the rules work in combat or in the war section, stuff like that. And it makes it a lot interesting, a lot more interesting. I think it becomes a lot more readable and enjoyable that way, to sit and read. But it makes it harder to reference when you need the rules and you need a piece of information, right? Now, some of that can be mitigated by having a really good index, especially if it's electronic and you have everything clickable. You can find what you need by hitting the index, looking it up, and then go, right? I don't have an index in the game book just yet because it's, right now I can't really, the way it works is I can't really do an index until I have the book finalized and I can have the pages populated automatically, right? So a lot of this is all sort of up in the air. I gave that guy room and he didn't pass, but he was riding my behind. Very weird. Anyway, so the index, and I've never made an index for anything before, so that'll be a challenge on its own, but that's not a challenge that I'm working on right now. Right now, I have three sections. I decided, ultimately, I'm going to have them in separate sections because it's a game book, not a novel. I don't need to make this beautifully written, like the type of thing that you're just going to sit and say, oh, what a pleasure to read. The only sections that most people are going to reference a lot, most likely, are the rules, right? They're going to go back to the rules again and again and again. So the rules probably should be on their own. They should be all on their own. And they should be well indexed and easy to navigate, easy to find what you're looking for. Right now, I don't think they are, right? I need to organize them better, and I need to have things easier to find. So the first section will be the rules. The second section will be the setting. And the third section will be like gaming material, right? So I'll have a couple of short adventures in there. I'll have a selection of pre-rolled characters that, either to use as player characters or NPCs. Probably a list of equipment or materials, starships, all of that stuff would all be in that section. And that'd be a substantial section. And so it's those three, plus maybe there might be a fourth section that just talks about my philosophy about gaming, simply because it will directly pertain to how this game is structured and why I chose to do what I'm doing. And if you approach it from a different standpoint and you have a different philosophy about not just gaming, but space opera in general, if you have a different philosophy about it and you want it more bang bang shoot 'em up, the approach you can take using these rules to get your, to get the kind of game that you like, because it won't necessarily mean you have to, primarily when it comes, if you want classic space opera like a Star Wars type of thing with space battles, dogfights in space and stuff like that, you can totally do it with the Star Drifter rules. Primarily, you just need to ignore some rules, streamline it, make it faster and easier to work, because if you want that high adventure space opera sort of feel, you don't want to be bogged down by, effectively rules that may add some realism but slow things down. You don't want realism necessarily in situations like that. So, I don't know. There are different ways to do it. I talked to Klaatu about this tangentially. Hey, Klaatu. Regarding combat. And that was just not even ship-to-ship combat. That was just regular character combat. How by ignoring certain rules at different parts of the fight, it speeds the fight up and makes it seem more exciting and more, the stakes seem higher, you know? So I don't know, we'll see. I for this version of the rules, for the last version, I introduced a concept for the armor, where it's called presentation, right? And the concept of presentation is, how are you facing the attack when the attack comes at you, right? Again, this is for the armor that you, that body armor that you're wearing, right? It's entirely possible in real life to be wearing a bulletproof vest and get shot and die. Entirely possible. Anybody, you know, anyone in law enforcement or the military, you know, they'll be the first to attest to that. You know, it's not a guarantee of anything, really. It's just, it helps, right? Because if you do get hit in the vest, you know, you have a much better chance of not dying, right? But if it doesn't hit you in the vest, if it hits you in the leg, if it hits you in the neck, in the head, in the arm, you know, even the shoulder, if the vest doesn't cover your shoulder well, or your armpit, if you raise your arm, you know, and you get hit there, you know, you could die from any of those. You could die from any of those hits, right? The majority of your hits are probably going to be the torso, and the torso is, it can be very lethal if you get hit there, right? Very lethal. So, you know, it's a protection, but it's not perfect, right? So in this rule, to simulate that, I gave each piece of armor a percentage chance of being presented in a way that it would interpose itself or be, you know, interfere with the attack, right? It would do its job, right? If you miss that percentage roll, the attack got through and you take damage, right? Adds realism. It does. It adds realism. Slows everything down. Slows it way, 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 way down. I think it's interesting. I still kind of like the concept, but I don't like what it did to the fight. Made it complicated, a bunch of die rolls to find out what happens if you get hit, right? Granted, you might want that in a game, extra realism in a game, but especially in a game like this where it's hard to get a lot of hit points, right? It's hard to get, it's hard to increase your hit points, right? You can do it. It does happen, but it doesn't happen like in, say, D&D, where you get a new die roll at every level, right? You have to expend a point to get a point, and you don't get a lot of points, you know, for adventuring. You get some, but you don't get a lot. And it's a slow process. You have other things you're trying to build up at the same time using those same points. So odds are you're not going to get a lot of points as you go along. And that means that if you take damage, it's serious, right? Because generally everybody's going to be fairly low with the amount of points that they have, even after playing for a while, right? And that's why armor is there to begin with. So it slows everything down. It adds realism, but it slows everything down. So I might reintroduce the concept as a purely optional thing, right? But if I choose to do that, that'll be in the next point release. Because in this one, I rolled back from that. I took it away, right? There's no presentation rule in 0.05.3. And I need to play some more of it to see if by taking it away it makes things faster but not broken, right? Not so bad, right? The way this works now is, and it's a variation on the original rules for armor, right? Now, the original rules for armor is each piece of armor that you have will protect you for a certain number of points of damage. That's the original rule. And that's really where it is again, except now it's a die roll as to what it's going to do, right? And that kind of simulates presentation to an extent. You're always going to do at least a minimum, right? Even on a bad die roll, it's still going to protect you to some degree. Any piece of armor you have is going to protect you, right? There are certain, you know, there's certain conditions for certain rules, like a shield. It protects you from stuff coming from the front, right? Not from anything from the back or the side, right? But, you know, and there are other things. And I have certain rules about how things are tested, right? That's a new rule, too. Because there are, like, if you're being, say, shot at, and you have a shield and you have body armor, the shield you test first, then the body armor, right? And it goes in piece by piece by piece. And I have a set number of pieces in the game, and I have rules for how those are tested. And by tested, I mean you roll a die to see how much damage they're absorbing for you. Because if the damage gets through the armor, then you take it, right? So there is still a, you know, there is still a concept. It's much more abstracted, but there is still a concept of presentation by having a die roll, right? So I think we're going to go with that. I don't think I'm going to reintroduce a percentage chance in presentation, because I think the die roll covers it. Covers it adequately, right? Because your armor could save, you know, it could absorb all the damage you take in a shot, right? But it might not, right? It is possible that it can still get through and hurt you. So, we got that. We got that going on. That is a big change for armor, and I think the knock-on effect that I'm really after, and not so much that, you know, how realistic it is or any of that, that's a secondary consideration. The real thing I'm going after is speed in a combat run. Because if the combat is plotting, and there's a lot of looking things up, and a lot of die rolls, and a lot of this, and a lot of that, it becomes a slog, and the fight doesn't seem exciting, right? So I want it to be, it's not lightning quick still. It's still not lightning quick. You get shot, and depending on how much armor you have, you're still rolling a lot of dice, right, to find out how much damage you're taking. So it's all like that. That's kind of how the game is. But it's better. By not having the presentation rule, it's better. And I think it is. I've tested it. I think it is. So, that's one of the rules that I hope is going to streamline combat. And again, I focus a lot on combat. I really want the combat rules to work, right? I really want them to work. And then I want people to avoid them. I don't want people to use them. I want people not to fight, right, in this game, because it can be deadly, you know? It can be deadly. I've done a lot of stuff to mitigate the danger, you know, extensive armor rules and extensive rules. I have rules about taking cover now, and if those are applied, it makes things complicated, but it basically cover ranges, you know, basically the way cover works is it either hides you or protects you, right? So we have cover that's obscuring, and we have cover that is protective. And these things modify, they create a situational modifier for the attacker. That's how that works, right? So if you're hiding behind a tree or something like that, you've taken cover behind a tree, the GM makes a ruling on how much protection that offers, and that acts as a negative situational modifier for the person shooting at you, right? And that negative gets applied to their skill, right? So if they have, say, you know, a pistol, they're shooting at you with a pistol, and their combat pistol skill is 12, and you're behind a tree, the GM may say, well, that's a -3 sit mod for him because you've taken cover. So instead of a 12, now he's got a 9. And he's got to roll a 9 or less on a 20-sided die, right? So he had a better than even chance to start, but now he's got a worse than even chance to hit you, right? Because you're behind the tree. Now, if you're behind the tree and there's bushes in the tree, you know, so you're ducking down behind the bushes and you're behind the tree, that might be an even greater penalty, a negative situational modifier for this guy. You know, so maybe it's -5, -6 for him. It could get really intense. You know, if you've taken really good cover, like you're behind a cement wall, no one can see you. They know you're there, but no one can see you. If you aren't popping out to shoot, they can't hit you at all, right? Unless they have, you know, some kind of weapon or ammunition or something that can penetrate the cement wall, right? Because then it's no longer a hard target. If they have a weapon that can do that, it's no longer a hard target. And you can be hit at random. They don't know you're there, or they don't know where you are. If they're shooting at you, they assume you're there, right? But, putting aside a really, a special piece of weaponry attacking you, put that aside for a moment. If you're behind there, even if they know you're there, if they can't see you at all behind a hard target, they can't hit you at all, right? So they can shoot and shoot and shoot, but you never have to roll, you know, whether to hit or not, right? If, however, you state that you're attacking, that means you have to pop out. Even if there's a little tiny hole in the wall that you're shooting through, you know, if you're attacking, if you can see them to attack, they can see you, right? Again, circumstances may there may be nuances there, but by and large, that's the rule, right? So you may pop out and then pop back. That's what you say, right? Well, there is a chance they could hit you. There is a chance, right? But they still have a huge penalty because you're behind a cement wall, you know? And you're only popping out, so they have a very short window in which to hit you, right? And so they have a huge negative thing, and they can't see you, so that's a penalty right there. So you're obscured, and you're protected. And that's a really big negative penalty, right? So if a character has got a 12 or a 13, and you're behind that cement wall, that could be upwards of a minus 10 for them to try and hit you, and that brings it down to, you know, a 2 or 3 on a 20-sided die or less. 2 or 3 or less on a 20-sided die. Sometimes they can only hit you with a critical hit, which is a 1 on the die. And if that's the case, you know, you're pretty well protected. You're pretty well protected. But anyway, yeah, so we have armor rules, we've got cover, we've got a bunch of stuff for combat. And if you employ all of these rules in your fight, you're probably doing pretty well. You're probably going to survive pretty well, unless, you know, the dice are against you, or you're ganged up on, or that sort of stuff, you know. But, you know, it's a real combat, you know. I feel like it's fairly well balanced, if that's the case, you know, if that's the case. If, however, you aren't wearing armor, you aren't taking cover, you die very fast. Very fast, you know. And if you're an NPC, they go down like grass. You know, they just, like, grass before a scythe, they go down. Using high-tech weapons, you know, modern machine guns and all the rest, you know. And that's also like real life, you know. If you aren't taking cover, if you aren't wearing body armor, you're dead meat, you know. your only hope that you could have is that they roll badly, you know. I think the combat is overall a good system and a balanced system. It's a little bit slow still, but I think overall it's worth it. And I think the more you play in a regular campaign when everybody knows the rules, and with, this is actually key, with the right character sheet, right? If the character sheet has all the information you need so that you don't have to look anything up, you know, in the combat anyway, you don't have to look anything up, the combat will go much faster because now it's all right there in front of you. And I think there should be a place on the character sheet for the pages where things are in the rule book, just in case you do need to look it up, right? So you don't have to go fighting for it. The page number is right there. But that's only going to be valid in a finalized version of the rules. I'm not going to keep updating it like crazy. You know, every single time I do a point release, I got to completely revamp the rule, you know, the character sheet. Although, to be fair, to be honest, I'm doing it anyway. But I have included in this version, all right, in the last point release, I created something called defining characteristics, right? And to an extent, these kind of compensate for not, you know, the because in the last release, I also dispensed with attributes entirely. No strength, intelligence, wisdom. Those are all gone, right? That's all gone. But I introduced, that was in zero, no, that, not the point, that was in the, I don't know, one of the earlier release. Once I got to 0.5, I did that. I introduced the concept of defining characteristics. So you might have, and it's basically something about you that's pretty, like if you're going to describe, like if someone's going to describe you to someone else, this might be the first thing they say about you, right? So strong, right? So strong could imply that you're a big person, that you're strong, big person, you're smart or this or that. You know, those are different things. And they have game effects. You know, they add certain, they have a direct effect on your character, right? There are rules built in for that. Well, I also decided to do something for personality traits, something about you, right? And that's a separate table. And that also is in there. And it's a purely optional table. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, right? Defining characteristics are too, really. But I think they should be in the game as a regular rule. But, the personality traits are there just in case someone wants to have something about their character. If they don't really know how they want their character to be, they can choose from. It's only a short list of 10. They can roll a die or they can pick one, or with the game master's okay and final approval, they can come up with one of their own that's similar, has a similar effect. And this will help round out a character if you don't have a sense of who this person might be. So that's another thing for rolling up characters that I came up with. There's been a bunch of changes, but the big one for this point release is going to be the inclusion of setting material. And I began that structure. So I think it's going to be a while before I go to the next point release. Because the next one, I think, will probably be for gaming materials at the end of it. But I'm trying to work up to a version of this. Right now, I have it in, I was going to turn it into beta rules, but I still think they're alpha rules. But I think I'm really close. I think I'm really close to turning these into beta rules. And by what that means, at least in my mind, is that the rules are solid enough that people can just play. They can pick up the game and just play. They might find a lot of problems, but they won't be things that stop the game where it's just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing here. It's like, oh, this doesn't work. Oh my God, you know, wiped out the party because I followed the rules. You know, that, I think we are probably past that point already, but I'm still not super comfortable just yet. Not just yet. Other rules I want to expand on. You know, like I say, I'm working on the setting part this now, but there are other rules that I would like to get involved in. One of them is zero gravity. Both zero gravity combat and just working in zero gravity. Have a whole section on that because that may, you know, again, it could be one of those things you can ignore these rules and, you know, just have like, well, you know, just give me your whatever skill die roll, and if you do it, you do it, and you're fine. That's perfectly valid. But I could have extensive rules because there may be some adventure, some part of an adventure, where it mostly takes place in zero gravity, maybe out in open space, And if that's the case, it'd be nice to have some rules and some grounding for that. So that's material that I would like to work with too and get that incorporated as time goes on. But anyway, yeah, there's more going on with that. So I'll once I have a better release of the game, one that I'm really satisfied with that I want to share, I will then replace the version of the game that I link to on my website. I'll replace that with this new version. Right now, the one that's on the website is it's the 0.4 series, and those rules are considerably different in a lot of ways from these. This will be a whole, in a way, it'll be a whole new game. Other stuff will be entire, the way you use skills and everything is entirely the same, but in other aspects of the game, it will be different. And I think a little bit easier to follow, a little bit more streamlined. You know, it's strange about the game for me. You know, I created the game for a couple of reasons, and I've talked about this in the past, but basically a bunch of people mentioned to me that they thought it would make a great game, right? Oh, well, that's nice to know. It's nice to hear, right? But I'm an old-time gamer, right? I mean, I cut my teeth on D&D, right? Advanced D&D. You know, my roots go way back, you know, to the 70s I was playing this game. So I'm an old-time gamer. Yes, I walked away from it for a long time, but I'm telling you, it's in my DNA, right? So it did make a lot of sense to me to have a role-playing game for Star Drifter, right? It really did. It made a lot of sense to me. So that there was, in other words, there was no reason not to from that standpoint, right? Whether or not anybody wanted it or wanted to play it or liked it, that's immaterial. I wanted to create one for Star Drifter because I knew I could. I've created role-playing games in the past, right? I wanted to create a game for Star Drifter. So that was one thing, right? But the other thing for it also was that I wanted to play Star Drifter. You know? I mean, I play Star Drifter all the time. I'm always thinking of Star Drifter. I'm always thinking about it, right? Always thinking about, you know, that, you know, the future and those rules. Primarily, you know, I'm thinking about the stories, you know, and the characters and Ejok and all the rest, right? I'm primarily focused on that part of it, but I think about the whole thing, right? It's in my head all the time, and I thought it would be great to sit down and play it sometime, right? So that I got that going on, too. I want to be in a position where someone else is running the game and I'm playing it, right? And that could happen soon. I'll talk about that closer to that point when it comes about. But that was the thing. Now then, that being said, wanting the thing and creating the thing are separate processes, right? You know, you can want whatever you want. That's easy. The wanting part is easy, right? The other part is the harder one, where you realize that vision, right? And I think I'm pretty darn happy with the way this has come about, right? Or the how it's, how like, the combat system, I really do think it's balanced. I think it works, right? The skill-based system works. Granted, there are a lot of things that may not work, you know, very well. And this is not super crunchy. This is kind of halfway, you know, it's more on the easy side, but it's halfway between crunch and pure theater of the mind, right? It's still a game. It's not just make-believe. It's still a game. And I think it finds a balance. And I kind of think that, for, at least for my taste, my gaming taste, the balance is the fun place, you know, where you do have a lot of room to play theater of the minds type stuff, but the dice do have the final say in a lot of things because it's a game, you know? So I set out to create a game like that. I wanted it on the easy side. It might be a little bit too crunchy, you know, compared to my original vision of this thing yet. But maybe not. Maybe it's where it needs to be. Maybe, well, it's still evolving, so it can go in any direction. But for me, I think I've achieved the goal I was after of having a game that I think is well done. You know, I love it because it's Star Drifter. You know, I'm going to love it no matter what. It could be the worst game in the world. I'm going to love it because it's Star Drifter, right? But I don't think it's the worst game in the world. That's the beauty. I think it's a game that people who really don't know Star Drifter from Adam and could care less, I think they could enjoy this game. And that's about as good as you could ever hope for as a game designer. That people who don't have a vested interest in this already could pick it up and find something fun and enjoyable about it. You know, people who aren't your fans yet could become your fans through the game, right? I think that's a possibility because I think the game works. So, I'm happy about the direction it's going in. I'm happy about, obviously if it was my only project, I would be focused on it and I would have a lot more done. It would probably be done. It would be a nice big book and it would have all sorts of material in it and it would be a lot of fun, right? But I'm doing everything else as well. But considering that, I am making progress and I am happy with the direction I'm going in. So, you can't ask for more than that when you're working on stuff like this. I don't think you can. So, anyway, I guess that's it for today because I am home.